Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. You have tuned in to a week's worth of information in just one setting. Now, on this program, President Obama, and I say President Obama, caused the Senate bill, the health care, whatever they're calling it, he's calling it a tax cut. And Cuba foreign minister rejects Trump's new policy towards Cuba, and America is getting older and more racially diverse, is what this new report is saying. And the TSA begins testing fingerprint check-in at Denver and Atlanta airports. We have that. And, you know, there's a new study that says that heat waves make people more moody, unhelpful, and other stuff. So, again, I'll be telling you something that you already know. So we have that this week in court and much more. But I want to welcome you on to Esprit.net News. And you can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. For those in the chat, I just want to say hey. And everyone on the line, want to say hey and thanks for tuning in. Before I get started, I also want to, say that yesterday was the first day of summer. I know we like to acknowledge the solstice as it comes in, so we're officially now into our summer programming. Nothing different is going to happen, by the way. Just wanted to make sure I mention this is now the summertime, so there you have it before we get started. Now, our first story, NASA is keeping an eye on a space rock, which is 230 meters or 755 feet in diameter. It says that it won't come close enough to our planet on Saturday to pose a threat. But scientists from NASA are tracking an asteroid. It's called the 44-1987. They give it a number. It's not a name. It's traveling about, they said, 7.9 lunar distance, which is about 1.8 million miles or 3 million kilometers from Earth. And it was discovered in July of 2010 and is expected to come close to Earth every year until 1922. So I guess they're just warning us because they said we're due to get hit by an asteroid at some point. So everyone that comes close, I guess, is where the warning is coming from. That's coming from NASA, not me. All right, sporting goods retailer sees a drop in their value after Nike announced a deal to sell its products directly on Amazon. So Goldman Sachs said on Wednesday that it believes the deal would give Nike better exposure to Amazon's huge retail channel and customer base, especially for millennials. So that's pretty much why they're going to Amazon, because people somehow want to cater to catered to millennials. I don't know what that really means, really. It's an age issue. All right, now the flu vaccine did a poor job protecting older Americans against illness last winter. Even though the vaccine was well matched to the flu bug that was going around, is what they're claiming, but they said it was virtually ineffective. So I guess I won't say anything about the flu shot, but the news story just says it all. It did nothing for you. Nice try. Tests have revealed that long-time exposure to the sun while driving can lead to wrinkles, leathering, and other skin cancers, or even skin cancer, because glass used on the side windows and the rear windows offered very little UVA protection. So, again, when you're out, especially if you're in hot climates, put on long sleeves or wear some long pants. Staying in the sun like that is not helping everybody. And those who it is helping, feel free. But I'm just doing the news. It's just a news story. Cuba's foreign minister rejected Donald Trump's new policy towards the island, saying Monday that we have never negotiated under pressure or under threat and refused to return the U.S. citizen who has been given asylum in Cuba. So if you don't know, Assata Shakur has been mentioned many times, and, you know, they've been having news stories saying that they need to return her to the U.S. So they had a hard-edged response to that policy from the U.S., and the foreign minister, Bruno Rodriguez, said from Vienna that Trump's restriction on transactions with the Cuban military would not achieve their objectives or weaken the government. He said they would instead create unity behind the leadership. He described the political prisoner, such as Joanne Chesimar or Assata Shakur, who was tried three times and convicted in 1977 after the DA talked to a sequestered jury in private. That's when they convicted her. But he said, as a political refugee who has received asylum from the Cuban government and would not be returned to the U.S. because the U.S. has no legal or moral basis to demand her or their return, or anybody who has political asylum, the U.S. cannot negotiate that back. And she has asylum under international asylum rules. It is not like the government is covered for her. She has an international asylum. So get over it. It's not going to happen. I just want to let you know, you're listening to Esprit Net News. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. I had to take a little breath after that because I'm tired of this story coming back up and people talking noise. Just read her column and be happy because she's not coming back. And unless she's pardoned, which President Obama should have done. And speaking of him, President Obama threw himself into the Senate health care reform deliberations today, saying in a lengthy post on Facebook that the GOP bill was unveiled today, is not a health care bill at all. It's a transfer of wealth to the rich. And he said, simply put, there's a chance you might get sick, get old, or start a family. This bill will do you harm, is what he said. And small tweaks over the course of the next couple of weeks under the guise of making these bills much easier to stomach cannot change the fundamental meanness that core of this legislation. He said, I hope our senators ask themselves what will happen to Americans grappling with opioid addiction who suddenly lose their coverage. What will happen to pregnant mothers, children with disabilities, poor adults, and seniors who need long-term care once they can no longer count on Medicaid? What will happen if you have a medical emergency when insurance companies are once again allowed to exclude the benefits you need, sending you unlimited bills or setting unaffordable deductibles? What impossible choice will working parents be forced to make if their child's cancer treatment costs them more than their life savings? That's what the former president works. So I want to make sure we put his words in its entirety and not do a summary, not do news commentary. That's what former President Obama said. And for those of you who are fighting for this stuff, go out and see your senators and curse out your congressman, because apparently my congressman, who said that he didn't vote for the House version of it, who is now talking noise, he actually secretly supports it. So get out and fight against those guys and make sure that they know that you're not going to reelect them. Just wanted to put that out there. Senator Tim Kaine says that the U.S. strikes on pro-Assad targets in Syria are completely illegal, as lawmakers demand that Congress take back the war-making powers. Now, Tim Kaine, who is a Democratic senator from Virginia, says that the Trump administration must receive authorization from Congress before targeting forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad. Now, the reason this is because before the president can declare war on a country, they have to get permission from Congress. So long as they're fighting terrorist groups or whatever they want to name them, he is getting this side authorization, but not full war power. So, but once he takes a shot at the Syrian government, then you need Congress approval, or you need to have Congress approval to do something like that. So there you have it. If you think that Tim Kaine is just taking a shot at him, because I know how this is going to go down. But that's not what happened. He has to get war-making or war powers from the Congress to shoot at any government that's at the UN, any legalized government. Right now, Donald Trump and his White House team have been accused of breaking federal laws related to the record retention by using hidden message apps and deleting the president's tweets. So there are two organizations overseeing, I guess they're called watchdog groups, but they're actually taking them to court because they're deleting tweets. When you're president, you cannot – everything that you write and say is technically on the record because you're a full-time public entity. That was Freudian slip, right? Freudian slip. All right. So he cannot delete this stuff. So now they're actually going to court for that. And, you know, I actually don't like Sigmund Freud, so I don't even know why I said that either. Now, the CIA released a FOIA, which is a Freedom of Information Act document, describing how contractors in 2012 and 2013 figured unplugging the Freedom Pay vending machine caused the system to crash, giving $6,000 worth of free stacks. They actually are looking into this, but apparently somebody who works for the CIA got $6,000 worth of free stacks because they hacked into the vending machine. You know, technology. You can hack into anything, apparently. Coal company Murray Energy is suing HBO and its Sunday night host, John Oliver, for what it says was a false and malicious broadcast. Now, last Sunday evening, John Oliver's show is called Last Week Tonight. They said, you know, their attorneys are saying that they're seeking a financial damages and a court order barring the rebroadcast of a segment of defamatory statements. So the segment criticized the Trump administration, their efforts to revive the coal industry, saying coal jobs have dropped for decades and other energy alternatives are driving the industry's decline. But Oliver said Murray's Energy CEO Robert Murray, who blames regulatory efforts on President Obama's administration, by the way, for damaging the coal industry. He said that the 77-year-old looks like a geriatric Dr. Evil, and noted that the company had fought against coal safety regulations. So he is going to go to court with that. So this is going to be pretty interesting. But HBO spokesman said the show did not violate Murphy Energy's rights or those of Murray. So we're going to see how this is going to pan out. But I think they're just trying to intimidate them. In that same show, Oliver did say that Murray Energy does have a habit of suing people. So this is just another effort to intimidate. I don't know where this sounds familiar in a story or so that I've done before, but there you have it. Again, John Oliver is getting sued. You know, first Colbert, people, you know, I can't even crack jokes with people nowadays. They're a little sensitive. After the last 8 years, everything was free game, but now those folks are sensitive. Colorado has passed a new law which makes texting and driving legal so long as it's done in a careless, imprudent manner is what they're stating. So Colorado passed a law that makes texting while driving legal. Okay, and this is a state that marijuana is illegal also. So I don't know. That's kind of seemed like it's sending contradictory messages, but okay, it passed. So, and this wasn't a referendum. This was passed through their government houses. All right, the TSA is beginning to test fingerprinting checkout at the Denver and Atlanta airports. Now, the technology, which works by matching a traveler's fingerprints to those previously provided to the TSA, allows travelers' fingerprints to serve as a boarding pass and an identification document. Okay, although I travel and I fly and all that, I am never going to do that. Now, you can do what you want, but I'm never going to do that. Just like, you know, swabbing your mouth. Don't do that stuff. But, again, I guess I can't tell everybody what to do, but it doesn't seem pretty safe that you're going to keep your fingerprints on file with the TSA. I'm just saying. All right, 31% of the men revealed that they are interested in getting plastic surgery. This is with millennials making up 92%. Now, cosmetic surgery for men has skyrocketed 325% since 1997. Again, I'm laughing because we just did a millennial story earlier. I don't know what's going on with the kids these days, but 92% is interested in getting plastic surgery. The guys are getting vain. I'm not saying anybody should be, but anyway, just wanted to put that out there. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit.net News. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. If you're on a line, I just want to say hey to everyone that's out there. And if you want to come in, just hit one on your line. I know I haven't been paying attention to the board too much, but if you want to come in, have any questions or comments, feel free, hit one on your line, and I may bring you in. Just wanted to say may, because so that we don't have the craziness, you know. Sometimes you get people calling in just to do silliness, but not today. America is getting older and more racially diverse as white baby boomers give way to the booming numbers of Hispanic and what they're saying are Asian populations. Now, every racial group grew between 2015 and 2016, but the number of whites have increased at the lowest rate. Now, less than 0.01% or 5,000 people, that's all the white population grew in this country, is 5,000 people. Less than 0.01%. Now, the Asian population and those who identify them as being two or more races, that grew by 3%, so we don't know if they were Asian and black and whatever. But it grew 3% to 21 million and 8.5 million people. That's what the jump was. White folks, 5,000 people, 0.5 million. Okay, now Hispanic people, the Hispanics grew by 2% to 57.5 million overall, and the black population grew by 1.2% to nearly 47 million. So, even at 1%, we're still grew at about 400,000 or so. White folks, 5,000 people. All right, now the number of non-Hispanic whites grew by only 5,000, leaving that population steady at 198 million of the nation's 325 million people. If you didn't know, the United States has 325 million people. Now, the proportion of the population aged over 65 also jumped from 12 to 15% from 2001 to 2016. So it's driven by the aging baby boomer generation. Now, see, here we go. Millennials, Generation X, baby boomers. Who can get those things straight? But at the same time, we're watching those numbers go up, but it is the baby boomer generation who are voting for these Republicans to do that to their own health care. The irony. Don't even know where to put that. Okay, so the world's population, we just did the United States, but the world's population grew by it's expected to grow by 1 billion people over the next 13 years. And will be almost 10 billion by the time we reach 2050, is what the United Nations is predicting. Now, the current population is 7.6 billion. That's expected to balloon in the upcoming decade, driven largely by the higher birth rates in Africa, according to this UN report. India will surpass China as the most crowded inside of the next 7 years, as the most crowded country, while Nigeria will overtake the United States and become the world's third most populous country shortly before 2050. Now, the UN agency forecasts that from now through 2050, half of the world's population growth will be concentrated in just 9 countries. Here's the order: India, Nigeria, Congo, Pakistan, Ethiopia, Tanzania, the United States, Uganda, and Indonesia. There's only one European country in there, and that country is decreasing in population in certain areas. But there you go. India, Nigeria, Congo, Pakistan, Ethiopia, Tanzania, United States, Uganda, and Indonesia. Now, almost half of U.S. teenagers have sex before they graduate high school, and 80% is using contraception. Now, a new CDC study has found that about 40% of American teens have had sex by the time they turn 18, and 80% use some form, and typically a condom. However, when compared to the data from teens having sexual activity in the 80s and at a peak of 88, the rate decreased by 17% for this year's 2011 to 2015 report. Now, in addition to teens waiting a bit longer compared to the late 80s, 80% of the teens reported using some method of contraception, and experts believe that these are both factors to the steady declining rate of teenage pregnancy. Now, the study of more than 4,000 teenagers from across the country found that 42% of girls and 44% of boys were active by the time they were 18. This is a significant decrease from 1988, where 51% of girls and 60% of boys of that same age group said that they were active. So the numbers are gone. And by the way, the teenage pregnancy rate is down over 50% since the 90s. So when I hear people say things like, you know, these kids are having babies, we don't have that problem like we did. And obviously, because of the two earlier news stories, you know that that's kind of true. We're declining numbers in a lot of areas. Researchers at Rutgers University found that there's an alarming increase of the risk of developing cancer and different diseases when certain women use dark hair dye and chemical relaxers. So you know who we're talking about. Black women who dye their hair had a 51% increase in risk, and white women who use relaxers had a 74% increased risk of different diseases. Now, the previous research suggests there was a link between harsh hair treatments, breast cancer, and most studies didn't include black women, but this one did. So although the risk to different kind of cancers and other ailments from hair dye and chemical relaxers, again, black women, 51% increased risk, white women, 74% increased risk. Now, this is research from Rutgers University, in case you want to look that up. I didn't want to go into too much of details in it, but if you want to look, it's Rutgers University. Just came out this week. Now, in the UK, the NHS, which is their healthcare system, launched an urgent appeal for 40,000 more black people to donate blood to meet the growing demand. Now, the NHS Blood and Transplant said between 2014 and 2016, there was a 75% increase in the amount of RO blood issued to hospitals in England. I don't know what RO blood means, but I'm just going to say that it's blood, because I don't think that's a blood type. So this is happening in England. And if you're in the United States, you know, again, it's the same thing. There are many studies that show, but black folks' blood is a little bit different, and it's healthier for Europeans. In some studies, I think I did this story before, so don't call with being racist kind of stuff. But, you know, they want more people of color donating blood, because Europeans donating blood, they're saying that they're not getting I guess bloods without the impurity. If you don't know, I guess I should do that story again. With Neanderthal DNA or Davinician DNA, there's about 100,000 mutations in them. So they, not that it's a preference, but they want minorities to give more blood. There you have it. I'll do that for the European countries and everybody else who's listening. All right. Now, a juror in the Bill Cosby sexual assault trial said the panel, or the jury, was almost evenly split in its deliberations. Now, a juror told the Associated Press today that a similar number of jurors wanted to convict Bill Cosby as acquit him on the charges that he drugged and molested a woman in Philadelphia in 2004. Now, I didn't do the story last week right after the verdict, because there was a story of an anonymous juror saying that number was 10 to 1. 10 people wanted to convict him, and 2 people were held out. I knew that story was a lie, so I just wanted to wait for a while. And 2 more jurors came out today, and they released it. And they said most of the time when they took a vote, it was either 7-5 or 5-7, but it was not split like that. And most jurors who had a problem with the case had a problem because the woman, she lied, and she held out until she got a settlement from Cosby. So that is pretty much the ongoing story with Cosby. But normally, I don't do any Cosby stories, but just in case you're getting enough of that in the spare, you know, what happens is that just to give you a negative impression of Cosby all the time, mainstream or major media or just generically news outlets want to give you from a certain perspective. So I'm here to tell you that the jurors did not, there was not just one holdout. So, and they shouldn't try him again, because technically the reason they didn't try her 10 years ago is because she was lying in a lot of her testimony. And also in this testimony as well, she did say she did not talk to Bill Cosby after it happened, and then they went back and found records and transcripts and found out that she talked to him 72 times. So when they put her back for cross-examination, this is what the jury heard. Nope, I didn't talk to him after it happened. And then they heard, oh, yeah, it was 72 times. So there you have it. That's why she lied on the stand, by the way, if you're wondering. All right, now, researchers, again, another, the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force wants doctors to screen for obesity in children starting at the age of 6. Now, nearly one-third of U.S. children are obese or overweight, according to this study. So the U.S. is actually kind of encouraging doctors to start screening 6-year-olds. I think that's a bad idea, but I thought I'd do the story anyway. But that's the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force. Who knows who those guys are? People make stuff up on the fly. So, and now I'm doing a story. So here we, there you have it. Nearly 1.3 million Americans were hospitalized for opioid-related drug use. The number of inpatient stays and emergency room visits have skyrocketed since 2005. And like we've done on a previous program, a drug overdose is the number one killer in this country. It overtook HIV, AIDS, and everything else. In a lot of cities, they are seeing record numbers of deaths due to addiction and overdose. I know we seem like we're having a lot of studies on the show today, but hey, that's what we have. Now, a new study has found that cops are more likely to cite black or Latino drivers than white drivers doing traffic stops. Okay, again, another study that really didn't have to do this news story. But the findings are coming from Stanford University. They analyzed 100 million traffic stops in 31 states between 2011 and 2015. So when someone says, hey, where's this coming from? Stanford University, 100 million traffic stops, 31 states. The study found that black drivers were stopped more than white drivers and that Hispanic drivers were stopped as often or less than white drivers. But once the traffic stop took place, both minorities were likely to be searched and or cited than their white counterparts. For example, when pulled over for speeding, black drivers were 20% more likely to get a ticket than white drivers, and Hispanics seem to have it far worse. They get tickets at 30% when they're stopped more often than white drivers. And one of the researchers said, not only did we find minorities are ticketed and arrested more often, we also found that police in general, while using a lower bar to search minorities than whites, and this is, by the way, coming from Stanford journalism lecturer Cheryl Phillips. This is what she told Mercury News. She said that they have a lower threshold. One thing that the researchers noticed was that states that legalized marijuana saw a dramatic drop in search rates since many traffic stops are drug-related. So if they say, we think we saw you with drugs, since they legalized it, they stopped stopping people. Now, a few states, including New York, Maine, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Utah, were not included in the study. So imagine what the numbers would have been if they were included. The researchers said that some states don't collect demographic data from traffic stops or they don't make them public. So that's why you don't have them from New York. I know New York State did not collect demographic information, which they should, but they didn't. So, and Georgia probably needs to as well. Utah and Pennsylvania, yeah, or Maine, you know, we can probably forgive you for that. Now, Dr. James Coit, who's 57, was arrested in May in California along with two nurses for allegedly performing acts on 7 children under the age of 13, including a 3-year-old boy. Now it has emerged that the married father of two allegedly had been preying on women and minors since 1997. So he and two nurses had this just recently got arrested. That's all I want to say about them. They're disgusting. All right, so a New York man, 57, sues the city after he drunkenly jumped out of an ambulance and suffered a fractured face and bleeding on the brain. he claimed that EMTs should have done more to stop him from jumping out of a moving ambulance. So the Staten Island man, I'm not going to say his name, is taking the fire department of New York, four EMTs, and the city itself to court after he threw himself out of this moving ambulance. You know, just in crazy news, I thought I would share that. There you have it with that. Now, in North Carolina, a sex offender wins the right to use Facebook as the Supreme Court rules that the law banning them from social media was unconstitutional. But they actually said it was broad. It was too broad and it wasn't specific. So I guess I should say his name. But anyway, the registered sex offender, after having that incidental, I guess he had an incident with a young girl when he was 21, a girl who was under the age of 21. He won the right to use social media following the ruling on Monday. And, again, it's one of those things where they were banned across the board, but the Supreme Court just said that it was too broad. So they would have had to narrow down the scope. I'm sure they're going to change the laws, and North Carolina will block them off of some social media. Now, the overdose capital of America, I knew the story was coming up. That's why I didn't talk about it during the opioid conversation. But the overdose capital of America is Ohio's Montgomery County. It saw 365 opioid-related deaths for the first 5 months of this year. It's only June, but Ohio's Montgomery County has already recorded the most opioid deaths in the U.S. this year. Now, according to authorities, including the coroner's office, they're saying that in one day they received more than 25 deaths in this small county. It's not even a big area, but technically they are the overdose capital of America right now. That's Ohio's Montgomery County. Now, 19 children are killed or injured by guns every day in the U.S., and 4 of 10 are a result of accident, is what this new 12-year study has found. Now, researchers was carried out by the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. They found that each year around 1,300 young people under 17 die and about 6,000 are injured by guns. So guns are still killing people, just not as much as opioid, but there is still a problem in this country. Now, a Connecticut special education teacher who has been charged with second-degree sexual assault after police say that she engaged in a sexual relationship with an 18-year-old student has allegedly told another student that she wasn't being satisfied by her husband. So the teacher, 34-year-old Laura Ramos, had been placed on administrative leave with her position at Central High School in Bridgeport following her arrest on Tuesday. But Ramos' lawyer said that his client is cloaked in a presumption of innocence. Officers were called to the high school on June 9th following a complaint of a sexual assault. Now, she came into court hand-in-hand with her husband and still claimed that it's because of her husband is why she slept with the student. I'm just doing the news. We're going to see how this is going to pan out in the big picture. Don't know, but there you have it. All right. Now, Felicia, I guess her name is Ferragina from New Hampshire, has pled guilty to reckless conduct and receiving a year-long sentence for getting high on methamphetamines while giving birth to her son at home in September 2016. So what she did was while she was giving birth, she was giving a home birth, and she had a friend actually inject her with methamphetamines while she was delivering the baby. So it looks like she is probably she's been sentenced to a year, or they're looking at giving her a year-long sentence, but because she pled guilty. But while she was pregnant and delivering, she did drugs. Okay. I actually have no other words for that. Now, a police said that a man is putting lives at risk because he has a treasure hunt. And he canceled it, by the way, after a second man dies in a desert searching for a buried chest containing $2 million in gold. So it's a Colorado pastor, Paris Wallace. He went missing for more than a week trying to discover the buried treasure left by an author, Forrest Fenn, somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. But you got to be like really good directions or a really good map just to go trotting off because it's $2 million. But apparently after the second person died, the police are trying to get him to call off the or cancel the treasure hunt. He has not done it yet, but I think he's looking to cancel, or they're trying to encourage him to cancel it. All right. Now, the heat wave is making people moody and unhelpful, according to a new study. Now, research from Northwestern University in Illinois is claiming that hot temperatures are making people unhelpful because they're more tired and dehydrated, is what the study says. Now, I'm going to take their word for that, but again, this is another study that we didn't really need, but I'm just gonna go with it. People are moody and tired in hot weather because they're dehydrated. Okay, just want to say that. All right, you're listening to EsperNet News. I keep forgetting to tell you that if you want to check out some more news stories, I'm sure, in the words of my girl, Lucy Abreu, there's always news that you can use. You can check for our past stories and past podcasts. Check us out online at Esprit Radio. But you can go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com and check out any of our stories in the archives. And I'm sure there's something in there that you can use, or some news that something in there that you didn't that you never heard before. So there you have. Now, you might find that I guess there's a Australian professor who says that there is a new micro generation, those born between 1977 and 1983, that are Xennials, a mix of Generation X and Millennials. So I don't know what that means, but they said, are you fed up with the Millennial line sect? You might be an Xennial, is what they're saying. So they're saying that there's a difference between the pessimist and the optimist. So if you're fitting in that group, hey, I guess somebody will pretty much create a name for any kind of group that you want. But this is coming from an Australian professor who wrote this. Now, you know, former FBI Director James Comey visited the New York Times building today as Trump said that he didn't record their conversation and questions what else that FBI director is going to tell the press. Now, they're calling it a leak, but the truth is that the FBI director didn't leak any information. You get to tell your story. So he, Trump is just kind of making stuff up on the fly. But he was actually at the New York Times building today, and there are pictures of him going in and out. So who knows what he's going to say, and who knows what's coming out tomorrow. But we're gonna check that out. Now, after the loss of Georgia 6, the 6th congressional district in Georgia, Democrats are calling for their removal, or kind of re-electing a new head of the Democratic I guess, the minority leader in Congress, Nancy Pelosi. Now, who knows why they're trying to blame Nancy Pelosi for a loss that was in a primarily Republican district anyway? I don't know. But they are making a lot of noise about Nancy Pelosi and wanting to – the Democrats want to fight. And apparently, since they can't beat the Republicans, they want to fight amongst themselves. But Nancy Pelosi is not your problem. I just wanted to kind of put that out there. Now, investigators are probing whether the Trump campaign obtained stolen information, including Social Security numbers, from the hacked voter databases. Now, if you don't know, that it was stated that the Russians did try to tamper with voter databases in more than 20 states. I think it was like 31 states. But now they're saying that there were some databases that were hacked, and now investigators are looking into whether the Trump campaign associates may have gained access to the stolen private information obtained from those hacked voter databases prior to that election. So, again, with all of the other investigations, and I remember that I think it was Donald Trump that said, if Hillary gets in office, there's going to be a lot of investigations. I think he meant, if I get in office, there's going to be a lot of investigations, because that is what's going on now. So, you know, there's a story out that actor Johnny Depp said, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president? So this was Johnny Depp making a joke while he was in the UK at the Glastonbury Festival. And they're calling the joke tasteless, and I don't know what kind of feed or kind of blowback he's going to get for that. But he was attending that four-day-long festival in England, and he said that on stage. So I didn't see anything yet, but Johnny Depp did say that, and it seems kind of hokey. But we'll keep an eye on that story. Now, there was a motorcyclist who appeared to drive through protesters in San Francisco in the federal building. They had they staged a die-in for the healthcare bill, and some fool jumped on a motorcycle and drove through the crowd. They moved out of the way. Nobody was hurt. He was turning around to drive back through the same crowd, and the police pulled a gun on him, and they arrested him. But apparently, I guess this is where privilege goes wrong, but a witness said that the driver was arrested after he turned around and headed back to the crowd. But the police did order him to stop, and there's video of it. So if you want to go see it, it is nuts. Now, the Trump returns to that whole Build a Wall drumbeat after Mexico is ranked the second amongst the world's deadliest countries in 2016. But he said that he wants to build a wall with solar panels. I don't know what that means exactly, why he thinks building a wall would be good and why he thinks solar panels would justify building a wall. But that would be Donald Trump. Now, Yellowstone grizzly bears are going to lose their endangered species protection, opening them up to a risk of trophy hunting up outside the national park. So the decision was made to lift the bear endangered species, lift their endangered species category. Now they have a population of around 700 in Yellowstone region, which stretches from Wyoming to Montana and Idaho. So, you know, I don't know what this means, but if they release or since they're getting rid of the endangered species protection, that means people will probably start hunting them. So just want to say that, because technically it's in the news. All right, you're listening to Esprinet News on Esprit Radio. You know, again, if you want to join in, hey, everybody, hey, Kai, hey, Kamish, I know you guys are probably just kind of listening on, so just wanted to make sure I shout you guys out and say hey to my cousin Adria. And, you know, I missed cousin Cedric last time, so what's up, cousin Cedric? And, you know, before, that's what I wanted to start the show off with, and I forgot to do it. But peace and blessings to my cousin Joseph August in Lake Charles, Louisiana, who recently passed away. I don't think I'm going to be there for the funeral or for the services, but I just want to acknowledge my cousin Joseph and to the August family and my family. So just want to make sure I said that on the program. So peace and blessings to everyone in the family. Now, if you are in the chat room, and I know I kind of see some statements in the chat room, haven't been reading stuff out of chat room in a while, but we may go back and start getting some more stuff out there. So feel free to make comments on the news stories. Sometimes when I pass the news story and I see a comment, sometimes I don't go back to them, but you know, I'm still keeping an eye on them. So just wanted to put that out there. And of course, I see the whole Cosby 10-2 split. Yeah, that whole statement from that juror was a lie. It was more like 5-7 or 7-5. So that was the split in the jury pool. So it was a split decision. It was not that there was only two holdouts. This is your first time listening again. You can always check us out in the archives. We're here at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out live, 909-265-9189, or in the archives like you've been doing. And I want to say thanks to all of our listeners. You know, every now and then we do check the numbers, but thanks for checking in. Now, a Florida rabbi, 41, is arrested for impregnating and sexually abusing a girl who's 15 after detectives matched his DNA to the unborn child. So this happened in Sanford, Florida. After detectives tested his DNA of unborn baby carried by a 15-year-old accuser. But so they arrested him. Now, I didn't do any news on the NBA, but the NBA draft is tonight, so we will we'll cover that. I think I'll cover it on the next show, but I don't have a lot to say about it. Did watch a little bit of it, but not a lot. The first pick did go to the Philadelphia 76ers. It was Markel, I guess it's Fletz, and the next one went to the L.A. Lakers, and they did get the guy whose father keeps talking a lot of noise, but they did pick him up. It didn't discourage those guys from drafting the kid from UCLA. Can't even remember his name. See? Shouldn't even started with it. Now, a prison guard who slept with a murderer and had his baby, she was sentenced to probation. Now, I'm not going to say her name, but she's in Macon, Georgia. She confessed to having an affair with someone who was in jail for murder and then having a baby. And then another case of someone, a male, slept with an inmate, got her pregnant. He received probation, a year probation, but he actually slept with an inmate and she got pregnant. See, I don't have any extra to add on to that story. It was just kind of one of those things. Now, states where marijuana is legal is having more car crashes. Now, the legalization of recreational marijuana in Colorado, Oregon, and Washington has been linked to a 3% increase in car crashes. That's according to a new study that's found. Now, I don't do drugs or anything, but I would have to say something's really fishy about that story, but hey, that's the story that is being reported. Now, a Texas mother of four, 21, left her daughter alone in the bathtub while she was on Facebook, and the child didn't make it. So Cheyenne Stuckley, 21, has been arrested and charged with injury to a child and the death of her 8-month-old. Because her mother was on Facebook, she has been arrested. There's no more details on. Well, actually, I don't want to go through any more details either while I'm at it. It's not a good thing. All right, now a mother who, well, actually, I did the story, but it kind of reminds me of the mother who injected herself while she was giving home birth. So we're going to have to get off the mother's stories today. An addicted son of a prominent Pennsylvania lawyer and county official killed his father on Father's Day. Now, Pennsylvania State Police are searching for Michael Marshak, who's 37, who is facing murder charges for beating his father, who's 60, who's a family law attorney. So there we have it with that nonsense again. Hey, you know, it just seems like there was a lot of studies and a lot of negative stories on this show today, but I promise it's not done intentionally. It's just kind of what was out there. It's not what I'm thinking about. All right, now, more than half of all selfies are about appearance and are taking to show off the outward status and wealth. Now, when it comes to settings, they say looks do matter because Georgia Institute of Technology, Georgia Tech, has determined that most selfies fall into the appearance category and are shared by 18 to 35-year-old women. That is the people who mainly take selfies. That's according to Georgia Tech. So, hey, that's not me. That's Georgia Tech. So I just want to say that, and thank you for tuning in to AspreyNet News. You know, I kept thinking we should probably go off on a whimsical story opposed to all of the negative. I know there's a lot of negative in the world, but don't worry about it. Stay focused. There is nothing to worry about. It's just kind of news. But anyway, I just want to thank you for tuning in. You're listening to AspreyNet News on Esprey Radio. You can call in, and you can always join us here every Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, you can check us out in the archives at espreyradio.soulofsyracuse.com. I can't believe I almost forgot the name. Esprey Radio at soulofsyracuse.com to check out some of our past shows. But again, I want to thank you for tuning in. I will see you again next week. Hey to everyone online. Hey everyone in the chat. We'll get with you later. Thanks for tuning in. All right. Till next time.